141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on the first Old Firm game of the season. Amongst other things, Celtic go into the international break 4 points clear of their Glasgow rivals after Kyogo's goal separated the sides. Michael Beale had grumbles about Kamar Roof's disallowed goal, but there were more than grumbles from the stands at full time, which might be the manager's biggest concern. And elsewhere, big wins for the likes of Motherwell and Hibs as Hearts and Aberdeen's league woes continue. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Andy Halliday and Hugh Keevans.
Yesterday was about the heat of the moment. Now it's about the cold light of day. Yesterday we had callers on this programme after Celtic's 1-0 win at Ibrox saying they would not go back to see Rangers until Michael Beale was removed. Now, is that how they feel, having had a night to sleep on it? That's what this programme will decide tonight. A victory for Celtic so dramatic that Brendan Rodgers said it got him off death watch. So to those Celtic fans who didn't want him there in the first place, what do they say about Brendan Rodgers now? An amazing day altogether. Three games, three away wins, three teams booed off the park. Rangers, Hearts and Aberdeen. And Andy, the season's not even a month old yet.
Nope. Listen, loads of drama and talking points over the weekend. Quite often or not, that coincides with the first Old Firm game. So plenty of talking points that I'm sure we're going to get through over the next 2 hours.
And I'll tell you what, it's a bravery medal for you.
It's been a tough weekend.
A Rangers supporting Hearts player coming into this studio tonight. I'm happy that you're
here. Do you
here.
Know what? I must admit, I've almost felt it. No well this morning, but we've braved it out.
01419511025. That is the number you need. And it's one of those nights you don't need any encouragement from me, I don't think. I think it's fairly obvious. What did you make of yesterday's game? That should just about cover it. Get in touch and let us know. If you do need your memory jogged in any way, I guess, Celtic fans, how good was it? Because some of you are fearing the worst before the game. Who stood up? Who impressed you? How important is it to take that advantage into the international break? And perhaps more dramatically, because that's the way it is on the losing side usually, Rangers fans, what is happening? Where did it go wrong? How strongly do you feel about the performance, some of the players, maybe the manager? Because that reaction at Ibrox at full time was quite something. Has the dust settled? Do you feel any differently? Or maybe you've woken up even more angry, even more frustrated now that you look back on it. 01419511025. Yes, of course, there were wonderful wins for the likes of Motherwell and Hibs that I'm sure we will get to at some point. But in this part of the world, you just know what's going to take centre stage. So come on down, 01419511025. To set the tone, Hugh Keevans, give us your result of the weekend.
You can't look beyond Rangers 0, Celtic 1. A statement result for Brendan Rodgers, and the manager admitting himself that he really felt that it was a watershed moment for Celtic.
Huge decision this for you. I just wonder where you turn here.
Well, to compound the misery of my weekend, let's start my picks. So for the result, I've got to go Hibs. Listen, three defeats on the trot, obviously coinciding with a change of management. David Gray stepped in and got a fantastic result away to Aberdeen. So it's the first and last time I'll be giving Hibs my result of the
weekend.
Well,
it was either that, you were going against your own team, or you were picking Celtic.
it's not a great choice, is it?
Hugh had mentioned Celtic. So what are we going, goal of the weekend?
Well, I know that Andy has further misery to come, so I am going to pick Callum Slattery, Motherwell.
A wise choice.
The win against Hearts at Tynecastle. And he also had that lovely moment where they decided to examine the goal using VAR when they had no need to, but you get two celebrations for the price of one. So Slattery will get you everywhere.
I like it. Go on then.
Here we go again. It's got to be Kyogo. Fantastic finish again. A bit of thorn in Rangers' side in these Old Firm games. And I mean, I'm convinced he's offside to hit the ball even that early. I was as shocked as anyone, but you know, fantastic technique on Shorty. Sort of hit it so early and get past a very good goalkeeper in Jack Butland.
I know you meant you're convinced he thinks he's offside.
Convinced.
But that's not what you said just before I get you in trouble. So there we go. Right, howler of the weekend.
Well, I'm going to award it to 15 outfield players at Rangers and the manager, Michael Beale. I am exonerating the goalkeeper, Jack Butland. They had very little to do with him. Rangers went into the match confident, not because of anything that Rangers had done, but because they thought that Celtic were in a state due to injury. and their confidence was entirely without merit. They couldn't do anything about Celtic, no matter the state they were in.
Well, judging by the phone calls yesterday already, some Rangers fans would agree with you on that. So, Rangers fans, how are you feeling after a couple of hours passing? Andy, what was your howler of the weekend?
Well, it was only 7 days ago when I was sitting on this seat that I said it's been a very quiet season for referees so far, but Kevin Clancy has forgot rule one of being a referee, I think, and letting the game play and let VAR do its job. And to give a penalty a millisecond before it reaches Stuart Finlay's head and ultimately cost Kilmarnock a point, I think Denny McInnes and his side will feel very aggravated over the weekend.
Yeah, it was quite something. Think that will be the most talked about refereeing decision on the show tonight?
Pretty much doubt it.
And main man of the weekend then, top performer, Hugh.
I'm going for the Celtic captain, Callum McGregor. The re-emergence of McGregor as the heartbeat of the side. He ran the show.
Well, I've done Celtic, I've done Hibs. It's time to go Motherwell,
come
I suppose.
On.
This is actually the second time this season I've given it to this kid, but Lennon Miller for me was absolutely fantastic at the weekend. I actually found out after the game he'd done his first driving lessons a week ago, and a week later to put in the performance he did at Tynecastle. I've got to hold my hand up and say, you know, for a kid that age, I thought he was very, very mature, played a man's game, and I thought he was excellent.
Becoming a bit of a theme, I think. Charlie McGrew picked him last week. You won't get any complaints from me. But anyway, there we are, 01419511025. What did you make of the weekend? What did you make of yesterday's game at Ibrox? That's going to be the place to start, Hugh. Absolutely no question.
Yeah.
Has your view on things changed with the dust having settled a bit? You were on the show yesterday. How do you look back on it all?
As I said earlier, a watershed moment for Celtic. Brendan Rodgers came in for so much criticism. The banner saying he was a fraud, the caller to this programme saying he was Judas, etc, etc. But it was a huge result for Brendan Rodgers and a very big setback for Michael Beale. You cannot go out of the Champions League having lost 5 goals midweek against PSV and then follow it up by being unable to beat Celtic, a Celtic side that wouldn't play in a testimonial match. And it was there inside a ground with 50,000 Rangers supporters and not a Celtic fan in the place. And quite simply, Rangers couldn't take advantage of any situation.
Andy, look, there's so much to get into in terms of the specifics, but as an overview.
Well, I thought going into the game, I thought both teams are a bit short of their top level. And after the game, I don't think that opinion's changed. I thought in terms of a spectacle, I thought there was loads of endeavour, loads of effort. But I thought the quality within both sides had let both teams down at certain scenarios. But I do feel as if most of the quality and control was showed by Celtic, specifically in that first half. And even towards going into the second half, even though Rangers had a lot of territorial advantage, I still think on the counter-attack I thought Celtic had the best opportunities. But listen, when it comes to an Old Firm game, performance is secondary, and the result is of significant importance, and it, Celtic managed to do it.
The season was always going to be about recruitment, Michael Beale's recruitment, Celtic's recruitment. Now Michael Beale stands accused by the Rangers supporters of having brought in players who are not up to the task, and he really has a big job trying to win them round again.
Right, let's do it. 01419511025. Strap yourselves in, because this could get lively. Ian is a Rangers fan. Ian, how did you feel about things yesterday?
Probably the same way as 50,000 Rangers fans did in that stadium. I mean, the first half to me was, it was so frustrating, it was so annoying. Rangers never really got on top of Celtic. They never got on top of their defence enough. The Celtic were playing out for the back, and Rangers kind of let them wander down the park right for periods of time, and that was what was, to me, was frustrating the Rangers fans, that the Rangers never got on top of them. But it wasn't a good performance. There's no getting away from that.
Mm. Let's ask Andy about that. You know, the approach from Rangers, Andy, was that... Do you understand why Ian and many others thought that? I mean, was it wrong in your mind? Or,
well, I always say, you know, going into an Old Firm game, I always feel the team that settles first quite often is the team that then goes to control and dominate the game. And I actually thought Rangers, you know, started the game pretty well. I think if you look at Celtic's back four, going into the game, it seemed as if it was going to be a sort of target area for Rangers. And I thought in the first 10 minutes specifically, I thought Lagerbielke and Scales started very nervously. But I don't think Rangers capitalised it on at all. And then after that, it just seemed really, really disjointed in terms of their shape within their press. I thought the front three were quite front foot and trying to get after Celtic, but then I don't think they were backed up by the rest of the team. So what it left was big, big gaps for a player like Callum McGregor to get on the ball and completely dictate the tempo. And for me, I just don't see how that was allowed to happen. Where Rangers spooked a wee bit, because, you know, they have played with sort of Callum McGregor and Matt O'Reilly and that sort of holding role, with David Turnbull in front of them. To me, at the weekend, it seemed a lot more like Callum McGregor played in that same role he did last year, where he was the deep line playmaker to go on the ball and make things happen. And I just don't think anyone within the Rangers midfield got close enough to sort of impact him. I thought they did in the second half, but ultimately I don't think their quality going forward determined that they created enough good quality chances to score a goal.
Celtic started with a makeshift back four and finished up losing Taylor and Johnson in the fullback positions, bringing on Ralston and Burnaby, with Scales and Lagabielka in central defence, and Rangers still couldn't do anything about it. So the back four starts by being called makeshift, and what do you call the stage beneath makeshift? Because that's how it finished for Celtic, and Rangers could not take advantage.
Ian, you mentioned you were at the game and the way it felt afterwards. I mean, just describe that to us, because we are in the studio, but that sounded... I mean, angry doesn't even cut it. That's about as toxic an ending that from the Rangers fans that I can remember hearing. Is that fair?
No, that's totally fair. I mean, it was building and building and building. Rangers fans were getting so frustrated that, yeah, Callum McGregor was giving it the freedom Ibrox. He was just picking pockets in the middle of the park, and he had all the time in the world to turn and control the game, as Andy says, and nobody was actually getting to him. And that was kind of the start of it. And the Rangers fans were getting really annoyed. And the second half, if we move on into the second half, Rangers did sort of press a bit better and impose ourselves a bit more in the game, but they still never done anywhere near enough. And I think the decision to roll out the goal, and I was going to phone yesterday, but I was up in the stand, I was away up in the gorge, I didn't see the incident properly, but I seen it on the TV, and I really don't know. He's always talking about there's a foul, and there's kind of, I don't know, like, by the rules of the laws of the game. I think that was one of those ones yesterday, that by the law of the game, that was a foul. But how can that possibly be a foul when it was him that made it? It was like a Belka who actually made a mess of what he was doing, and he got rewarded for it.
One of these incidents is always going to be a matter of personal interpretation. Ian's a Rangers fan and sees it that way. However, I don't think you can hang your hat on that decision to get your team off the hook, because Rangers had plenty of game time thereafter, and it is the fault of the Rangers players, not the fault of Don Robertson.
Yeah, but see, to be fair to him, he's not led off with that. He's not come on and said it's the only reason. He's analysed the game and then wants to talk about it, which is a huge talking point, so there's no denying that. Do you think the officials got it right or wrong?
Again, a matter of personal interpretation. For me, it's a foul.
Okay, Andy?
I mean, I think I've debated with at least a dozen people about this this incident. Sorry, and
yeah, I mean, you waited a full 15 seconds.
I know, and
we've already
spoke to you about it. And to me, I personally don't think it's a foul. By the laws of the game, I've seen the reading, and you know, Dessers is never in control of the ball, so I can get that. But to me, the incident in full, is that enough of a clear novice error to be sent to the VAR screen? I'm not too sure.
Well, that would be the two layers, wouldn't it? Because first of all, in a very general sense, do you think it's a foul, right? And then people can say yes or no. But in this instance, there's the extra layer of, okay, even if you think it's a foul, is it a clear and obvious error? And therefore, should the referee have been called over to the monitor? Because that's a different... Is that maybe a different question?
Yeah, I suppose so. And listen, in first instance, I don't think anyone sort of seen a foul there. It didn't really look as if any Celtic player was sort of claiming for it. But the fact of the matter is, that's why VAR's there, to then have a look at it. And these are the type of instances where I would like to see what the sort of vocal communication was between the referee and the VAR studio. Has he seen the contact initially? Has that then led him to believe it is a clear novice error, and that's why he's sent? But yeah, I just... I try and look at different scenarios, and I think that Lagerbielka has been really slack and he's been caught on the ball and he's got away with one. I think that's acceptable. I think everyone can understand that. And then I look at, if Dessers goes down in that contact, the Celtic still get a foul? I'm not too sure. But at the end of the day, I still completely agree with what Michael Beale said after the game. Rangers still had more than enough time to get back their cell into the game and obviously score a goal again. But to me, I do think Lagerbielka's got away with one.
Thank you to Ian. What about Mark and Airdrie? Mark, if I was to ask you for a word or some words to sum up yesterday, but you're not allowed to swear, what would you give me?
Embarrassing, mate.
Embarrassing?
Aye.
What in particular?
The Rangers mentality right now is shocking, isn't it? There's no fight to orders. I think I read something last week that Rangers been back to Melbourne. Beale's been back to Melbourne. Any manager can stick advocate, and that's the dross of one.
Who are you holding that against then? The players that have been brought in, or the guy that picked them?
The guy that picked them. It's his signings and all this. He started his first season, and that's not good enough. It's the amount of money you spent in it. So,
Andy, this has been going on for a few weeks. Let's be polite about it. We'll say the jury was out on some of Rangers' new signings, but you know the way this fixture works. If Cyril Dessers bangs in a double yesterday, or I don't know, Sima comes on and changes the game, the last few weeks just simply don't matter. That's the way it would be. But safe to say that didn't happen for any of them.
No, and it is a fixture, you know, on days going past for both sides of the Old Firm, where, you know, a player can quite often make themselves a hero in the within the fixture. But no, to echo similar to what you said at the start of the show, it was always going to be a massive window for Michael Beale in terms of recruitment. They went out, they've made 9 signings, they spent £13 million. We're now 9 games into the season. Rangers have had 9 different starting 11s. So that to me tells me that Michael Beale still doesn't know his best 11 2 months into the season. Now we're looking at the 9 signings. 3 of them start the first Old Firm game of the season. 2 of them were 3 transfers, even though they spent £13 million. I'd even argue that if Borna Barisic was fit, only 2 of the 9 signings were
and
going to start the
to
game.
To be fair, Jack Butland sort of has to, if you know what I mean. He's a replacement goalkeeper. There's not a real decision to make there.
And Dessers, who's one of them, I still don't really think's nailed down his jersey either. So listen, I still believe Rangers are going to improve. I don't think there's any doubt of that. I've worked under Michael Beale, and I know I'll probably take a bit of stick for it. I know how good a coach he is, so I do still think he deserved time in the job to try and improve what's there. But listen, There was obviously naturally going to be excitement going into the season, because Rangers fans knew there was going to be a rebuild. They knew that a lot of the players that they felt was stale going into the world's end of last season were up out of contract. They were of an age where they were probably going to get moved on. They knew there was going to be plenty of new signings in the door. But listen, we're 9 games in, and like I says, I don't really think any of them, out with maybe Jack Butland, is fully nailed down their jersey yet.
In terms of what happens going forward, they come out of the international break with St Johnstone away. They have to be very, very careful. If any points are dropped at McDermott Park, the Rangers fans will go off their heads. He must win the Viaplay Cup. I am old fashioned. I believe that if Celtic go out of a competition, that means Rangers win it, or vice versa. And I don't see anything in front of Rangers that they cannot beat to win that first trophy. However, if Michael Beale doesn't win that trophy, then he must expect what follows. And when Real Betis go to Ibrox first game of the Europa League, that's an important marker as well for Michael Beale. So only one thing helps him going forward. He's got to win, and then win again.
So how do you feel about the manager in general, Mark? You spoke about the recruitment. How do you feel about Michael Beale? Do you have faith he turns it round?
I hope so. I don't want any Rangers manager to fail. But personally, I just kind of see it right now. The recruitment he's brought in, as I'm going to say, is you give away Colak and they all sleeves in a free and whatever and the rest of it. I don't see Dessel's been fit enough. It hasn't showed any signs of being good enough either. The whole front side, we just cut by Morton in the cup, and Celtic won the Art Cup as well. But right now, I'm hoping that he does turn it around. I can see him turn it around if he's got the brains that everybody says he's got behind Gerrard, and obviously Andy's played under him and coaching staff. So, and he's very highly rated. But I want it to work out, so I have faith in him now.
All right, Mark, we'll leave it there. 0141 951 1025. We'll get more of your thoughts. Keep them coming. How are you feeling about yesterday? We'll speak to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB.
Need a reason to smile? Comfort Dental has you covered with new patient exams, including x-rays, for just $19. That's right, only $19 to get started on a healthier, brighter smile. With convenient locations, flexible hours, including evenings and Saturdays, and a team that truly cares, Comfort Dental makes dental care easy and affordable. No gimmicks, no stress, just quality care when you need it. Get comfortable with Comfort Dental. Call or visit comfortdental.com today.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Hugh Keevans are here. It's 0141 951 1025. And no prizes at all for guessing which game over the weekend is getting the most debate on here tonight. So it's 0141 951 1025 to look back on yesterday's game at Ibrox or anything else that is on your mind. Lots been said already on the phones and on Twitter. Let's hear a bit from Michael Beale for you. He says on the reaction, if you like, after it, on fans booing, he understands why they were booing at the end, but thinks they will be able to win them back round.
Well, listen, I understand it when the results have been the last two. I understand the frustration from the fans. It's with the shirt. It's not just here at Rangers. It's anywhere. It's a derby. It's a game where there's a lot of emotion involved in it, and the fans expect their team to get a result, and we didn't. So that's par for the course. In terms of pressure, you're always under pressure in this job. You're only ever a couple of results not going your way to feel that, but the most pressures that we put on ourselves. And so we've fallen short of that today because I expected and wanted us to get a result. And over the course of the 90 minutes, I think the result's harsh on us. But in terms of these games, they're only about the result. I think that the team can win the fans back by winning games of football, and that's what they have to do.
I don't think it can possibly be harsh on Rangers when they did so little to help themselves over the course of the game and the chances that they missed. And I think Michael Beale read the room very quickly, because as soon as the final whistle blew, up the tunnel and away. And the players were left to take the barbs from the crowd, and by all accounts, it was quite ferocious.
How do you feel about the manager at the moment, Scott and Garahill?
Hi, good evening. How are you doing, lads?
All good.
Okay, so first of all, like you think, Rangers should have got a draw yesterday.
Okay.
The referee was absolutely disgraceful. Second goal should have, I know that debate will go on for months, but the second goal should definitely have counted. And in regard to the manager, the fans need to get behind him and back him.
Why?
Because I think he's doing a good job.
He's doing a good job?
Yes.
He's come off a 5-goal hammering from PSV. He then beats a Celtic side who are minus several key players, and you're saying you'd have been happy with a draw against that Celtic side. The manager has to take some responsibility. It's his recruitment. He picks the team. You know, I don't think your view, Scott, represents the majority view.
No, 100%. I totally agree with you.
I mean, Andy, like, listen, what we'll find out between now and 8 o'clock is whether yesterday was a heat of the moment emotional stuff or whether it does carry on. There was not a lot of love for Michael Beale on these phones yesterday afternoon. To be fair, fine, Scott wants to back him and thinks he's doing fine. How much does this stuff reflect on a manager in these situations?
I think it's only natural. I mean, I think going into the week, I don't think there's any doubt it was the biggest week he's tenure so far. And I think, you know, when that ends in a heavy defeat against a very good PSV side, and then a defeat in the first whole firm game of the season, I don't think there's any doubt that criticism is going to come your way. Whether it's fair or not, I think you could argue. But the fact of the matter is, I think going into the season, the three big things for Michael Beale and Rangers were getting their recruitment right, nailing down their identity and their style of play, and then getting your best 11 on the pitch. I think right now, you've got to argue that all three they've sort of fallen short of. And listen, I have stress. I do think they'll improve. I think individually they're going to improve as well in terms of new signings. But, you know, again, going on to the recruitment, I talked about players that leaving at the end of the year, and people felt it was getting a bit stale and change was needed. Right now, if Rangers fans were offered Alfredo Morelos, Ryan Kent and Fashion Sakala, would they swap them right now for the front three Rangers? I think they would. So for me, I still think there is a little bit of a worry there, because for as much control and territory they did have in the second half, and I don't think it's outlandish to say that, you know, Rangers could have got a draw, deserved a draw, right, fair enough, but for the amount of territorial advantage, like I says, did they create enough? For me, no. I still think that Celtic had the clearer chances in the second half, so I do think there's going to be worry there. In terms of Michael Bielis, I think it's far too premature to be talking about him losing his job. I still think he deserves time. But the fact of the matter is they're going to need to improve very quickly.
Gary in Edinburgh, how do you feel about the manager currently?
Well, I think Scott was at the wind-up when he says that he's been doing a good job. I don't care what planet he's on. But anyway, the old thing is, Andy Halliday, before I get to it, you were saying about Morelos and Kent and guys like that. But what about Colac as well? Colac was another one that was beneficial to us. The old thing with that, You've got a few things as well. We should have got awarded a penalty, but then the penalty wasn't a penalty. Sorry,
the disallowed goal.
The disallowed goal. Even I'll rephrase that. Sorry, the disallowed goal. I think that was absolutely terrible, and the whole kind of thing with obviously the outcome of the game. No Rangers supporter can sit there and be devastated about, obviously, the outcome of the game, because Celtic were by far the better team, and you've got to give them credit. Even though I'm a Rangers fan, you've still got to give them credit for, obviously, getting the result with a kind of poorer Celtic team. So either you can have no complaints if you're a Rangers supporter, but certainly I would get rid of Beale.
That's a complaint. That sounds awful like a complaint to me, Hugh.
The punchline to the end there. Michael Beale, there is no doubt. You cannot have scenes such as were witnessed at Ibrox yesterday and dispute the fact that the manager's under pressure from the Rangers fans. He can only change that mood by making sure that he comes out of the international break, beats St Johnstone in Perth. I think if you win the first trophy of the season, then symbolically it's very good for him. You know, there'll be a tremendous celebration at Hampden if they win it. If they are knocked out between now and the final or lose the final, then it's another black mark against his name.
I suppose, Andy, though, this is about the context of this one, isn't it? Like, Celtic are the champions, obviously. They will be the toughest test Rangers face. You could lose by an odd goal to them. That in itself is not a disgrace, but people are looking at the start of the season. They've either been underwhelmed by the performances, the result obviously against Kilmarnock, the nature of the defeat PSV, concern that the new signings aren't gelling quickly enough or aren't good enough, and then maybe even that there's no clear sign yet of a kind of style or a structure that they want to see. Presumably this is not just because they lost yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a good sort of general overview. And I said earlier on the show, I think that, you know, performance is always secondary in this fixture. Result is obviously of the most significance. But I think when you're taking, you know, if you're not a fan, you're taking emotion out of the game, you still want to come away and say, like, I can see the improvement there, because there's been a lot of chat so far this season that, you know, Rangers aren't quite near their best, as long as probably Celtic, you could argue. But I feel as if I can see what they're trying to do in terms of their style and their identity. The issue is, if it's not working, I don't see how they adapt. I said that after the Kilmarnock game going into the season. I think having two wingers in your squad and Rabbi Matondo and Scott Wright, in terms of out-and-out wingers, to me, I think there's going to be times in the game where you are going to have to change. You know, width might be of importance. Because I think you can see that Rangers trying to attack with their fullbacks with their width. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Whether it's James Tavernier, Borna Barisic, Dujon Sterling, there's times in the games where they can't get up, especially in games like against Celtic, when Dyson Maeda and Abada have got the fullbacks pinned, so they can't always provide the width, so then it has to come from somewhere else. And I think if you've got that sort of front three occupying against the two centre-halves and you're struggling to get balls into them to feet to cause issues, then where's the change? Right now, I think that's where Rangers are struggling. I think if plan A is not working, I don't see where the change is to make it better.
Thank you to Gary in Edinburgh. Let's come a little bit along the M8, closer to here, and bring in Callum and Shots. Callum, how did you feel at full time yesterday, if you can remember that? What was it like?
It's gotten me. But listen, I'm going to ask Andy some here, because they're going about these new players he's brought in. But these players are tell how to play, they know. You know what I mean? The McGregor, they were passing out for the back. He's getting all the ball. He's been allowed to play. They'd be shutting him down at all. They weren't pressing. So these new players are obviously taught how to play and set up against them, and you know.
So basically, what you're getting at is this comes from the manager. You think he's to blame?
Aye. I mean, the players, they're the Sam Lammers, right? That was a sat he missed. That's no tactics. He should have scored that. But I don't understand how they're all going on about these players, right? But the manager, they're telling how to play. He's telling the players where to go. So how come they were nearly shutting down?
I think it's always very hard to argue if you're not actually in the changing room and you don't hear what the exact instruction is. But I mean, I've been a footballer for a long, long time now, and I've never heard a manager's instruction being the front three you can press but the midfielders can't. So for me, I don't know where the confusion was, because I don't think there's any doubt, even in the first half, especially early on in the game, that Rabbi Matondo, Kamal Roof and Dessers, they were front foot. They were trying to get after Celtic in terms of their back four. But like you says, you know, any time sort of Cal McGregor then sort of latched off his midfield and found a pocket of space, I just don't think there was anywhere there. Is that down to communication? Is that down to instruction? I'm not sure, but one thing's for sure, it had to change. And I don't think it should have took to half time for that to change. I still think that can be changed on the pitch, whether that comes from individuals or an instruction from the side. But for me, I don't really think they got that right until the second half. But then, for me, it was too late, and I don't think they'd done enough with the possession they had.
What about the so-called on-field generals, Andy? Should there not be players there who are taking responsibility for altering things?
Yeah, potentially. And I think you could see a couple of scenarios early on, especially in the first 20 minutes, where Kamal Roof was getting frustrated where they were pressing and you know, it was getting played by them into midfield, and you could see him sort of telling the midfielders to squeeze up. And yeah, like I said, you can't really pinpoint why the reason was. But no, I look at the opposite, and I look at how Celtic pressed. Now, I've not watched Celtic week in, week out, so I can't tell if this is something they've done all the time. But you could see they've then pressed in a 4-4-2, which isn't their shape. Tumbo goes up next to Kyogo. They occupy Rangers two centre-halves. They try and lock them down one side and then keep them there. And to me, that was very successful, especially in the first half, because I think there was countless times where Rangers would try to build up for goal kicks or for the back. It would get to corner goals and it would all get very, very compact. And then quite often Conor Goldson was going direct and
Jack Butland did that as well though, didn't he? That's what I was going to ask you about on the ball. You know, because a lot's been said about the new signings, but by all accounts, you know, Cantwell and Raskin, they're real favourites of Rangers. It feels like we didn't really see them. It feels like they were never really on the ball. It felt like the ball was over their head quite a lot.
Yeah, you could see quite often, especially Cantwell, I thought that he was getting frustrated by not getting on the ball, and then he was taking up that sort of false fullback position, and when the areas he was getting on the ball, it was very, very difficult for him to sort of influence or affect the game. And you know, I talk about this sort of front three that they try and occupy the two centre halves all the time. Quite often, especially in the first half, the only time they really get involved in the game was, you know, a direct ball through Conor Goldson. No, Lager Bielka skills not getting the clean contact on a header, dropping second balls, and then they sort of picked up the possession there. But in terms of, you know, playing through lines, breaking lines, getting turned, getting at the back four, to me, they never really done enough. And, you know, listen, I touched on earlier that I thought Lager Bielka and Skills started the game very, very nervy. It then led to Liam Skills, to me, putting in a very matured performance and defending very, very, very well. Was that down to Rangers not making them defend enough? Potentially. But what he had to do, I thought he had a good performance.
Callum, is this just Michael Beale getting it wrong yesterday in isolation, or have you got bigger worries about
them? They're Kilmarnock. Then they played in the cup, they won 2-1. They were crap, right? Then they played Ross County, played Livingston, they were good for 20 minutes and never kicked a ball. They made the two subs in 70 odd minutes and they scored another three goals. I mean, it's down to the manager, mate. He tells you how it sets the team up. The players have got responsibility as well, obviously, but Bill's telling them how to play. And they keep saying Bill with his brain behind Gerrard, and I've had my doubts.
That was said at the time, but you always find that said of situations like that, pairings like that. It's not really him, it's the guy behind him, but I don't know how fair that is. I think Rangers, you know the way it works in this part of the world? Rangers win the Viaplay Cup final, and the Rangers fans come on here and say, we are the only team that can win the treble, and we have a trophy and Celtic don't. So that has to be Michael Beale's target. He has to get silverware.
Is the worry for Rangers fans not right now that they won't have as much faith in that statement if they're X amount of points behind by the time they try and get their hands on the League Cup?
What happened yesterday meant that Michael Beale
He wanted lost. To be. He want Michael Beale publicly said he wanted to be top by the international break. He's 4 points behind already.
Yeah, yeah. And the only way he can change the mood is to keep on winning, obviously, and hope that Celtic slip up again. But I think the Viaplay Cup final isn't until December, so he's got the complication of Europe. You know, Rangers are in a group where you can't be losing fives and sixes there. So the whole thing is fraught with danger, but it has a very simple remedy. You just can't lose.
Okay, thank you, Callum. Let me run this past you before we go any further. Yes, well done to Kath, who won herself £50,000 on the first day of Make Me a Winner. What a start. Now we could make you a winner with £52,000 tomorrow when we make another call, but you need to be in the draw. So text YES to 61025. Texts are £2 plus your standard network rate. You can enter on the website. Online entry costs £2 as well. You can call 0330 880 4523 with calls charged at a standard rate, and it is over 18s only. But all the rules for this network competition are on the website. So if you get the call from us after 3pm tomorrow, answer within five rings and say "Make me a winner" straight away to win £52,000. We've teamed up with our sister stations across the UK to boost your bank balance after a busy summer. And if you want to be in it, text YES to 61025.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans is here and Andy Halliday is alongside him, both waiting patiently for you to get in touch. Let's bring in Gary, who's in Bishopton. Gary, 24 hours on, has the dust settled? Have you calmed down, or do you feel just as angry about yesterday as you did after the game?
Just as angry, I've got to say. Just as angry. It wasn't a good watch, but my point is about, just say hello, panel.
Oh, don't worry about hellos. I don't mind that, Gary. You carry on.
I need bother. My point is about James Tavernier, right, and the captaincy. Now, here we have a guy, right, the leader of the club. Now, I'm not saying James Tavernier's a bad player and he's not got a role to play, but I don't think he's a leader, and I don't think he should have the armband for Rangers Football Club, because he makes too many mistakes. He switches off too many times during the game. He misplaces passes constantly. I counted about seven in the second half, and two of them were within 3 minutes, misplaced passes. Now, if you've got a captain of a football club, he should be talking to the boys in that dressing room, gearing them up for the second half, especially after we lost that goal, raring to come out, put the foot down and lead by example, and he gives the ball away. Misplaced passes in 3 minutes.
Gary, if you make that accusation against James Tavernier, then you are obliged to give me the name of the man you do want to be captain.
Conor Goldson. I think there's a born leader in Conor Goldson, but he can only play to a certain amount whilst James Tavernier's his captain.
I think Tavernier is a whipping boy whenever anything goes wrong for Rangers. And Conor Goldson, I'm not saying this debars him from being captain, but he was at fault when Celtic scored.
Well, I mean, the header, it wasn't a great header, I'll give you that, you know what I mean? But that, I know he made the mistake on Wednesday night as well. I can forgive him for that, I really can. It's not very often he does that, I would say. So for a captain, like McGregor, for instance, who wins 99.9% of his interactions on the park, he does not or very rarely miss straight passes. That's what you've got to have from a leader. Now, if these other 10 players are looking up to James Tavernier, and I'm not trying to assassinate his character, I'm just making the point that Michael Beale's bravest decision would be taking the armband to Tavernier.
But you've just pointed to a man who's made two big mistakes in a European tie and an Old Firm game in the space of four days.
I know, but I'll give him the armband and watch him flourish, because that's in Conor Goldson.
And there will never be a Rangers defeat where this question doesn't come up until such times as James Tavernier's no longer at the club. Is it any more relevant now than it has been any other time?
I've spoken about this. I know it's a sort of a bugbear of a lot of Rangers fans. And listen, from my point of view, Gary, I think it's extremely harsh. You're talking about sort of consistency levels and standards. I think James Tavernier is the least of your worries when it comes to consistency in the Rangers team. I think he's been there, what, 8 years now? I think he's got 4 player of the years, seems to get in the team of the year every single year. And listen, you're talking about wearing the armband. You can still be a leader in the dressing room without having a bit of cotton on your arm. So Conor Goldson's still on the pitch. He can still lead from example. He can still direct traffic and talk to players and communicate that way. I just think it's unfair criticism of James Tavernier.
Anything else that annoyed you yesterday, Gary?
Can I just ask you this then, Andy? So when Tavernier misreads a pass, right, 1, 2, 3, how do the players react to that internally, which we will never know or never see? How do they react when they watch their captain switch off misplaced passes? It keeps us down at a certain level. That's just my view and my opinion. And I think Michael Beale's biggest decision would be to take that for Tavernier in days of our favour.
Yeah, listen, you're entitled to your opinion. I think a lot of Rangers fans have phoned up and said the same thing. But in terms of misplacing passes, I don't think you're going to then give it to someone who's going to get 100% pass completion. And you know, Callum McGregor, you touched on with being the Celtic captain. We've had callers over the last 2 or 3 weeks complaining about his performances at the start of the season. So, listen, it's all a matter of opinion. For me, you talk about setting standards, and I think he has been Rangers' most consistent player for a few years now.
When you look at the reaction at the end of the game, Gary, it was vociferous to say the least. Is that how you feel about the full thing? Was that fair? Was that just an emotional thing? Is it an overreaction?
I think they tried. I think they've done. I mean, we were all ahead of them in the second half, but I've got to be honest, we were all ahead of them. We played our best and we still never scored. You know what I mean? Some of them look like championship level, you need to be honest with you, and they probably had a good game. So I think Michael Beale's got a lot of work to do. Do you know what I mean? So that's it.
Yeah, fair enough. Thanks, Gary. Let's bring in John Paul, who's a Celtic fan. John Paul, this is nothing new in this city. It tends to be the losing team that will shout louder on here, which is fine. What was good about your side's afternoon?
Evening, Gordon, Hugh and Andy. I'm actually sitting here hoping that Rangers do not ever get rid of Michael Beale. And I didn't say that to try and wind them up, or maybe a day, but Celtic went to Ibrox yesterday with no fans on the back of a cup, put out the cup in the first round, and also by a draw at home to St Johnson. Not in our best form whatsoever. They went there with a back four who have never played with each other. We lost three of best players from last year. We weren't playing. Jota because he'd left. Hatate was injured and Carter Vickers were injured. Rangers would never have had a better chance to go and take care of us in a game that mattered. Michael Beale has not got that in him to, I don't know, they won the game last year when it didn't really mean nothing. You know, Celtic are going through a bit of a transition now. You know, not as in what Rangers had to do is and lose all their players or get new players. You know, players are struggling to play under a new manager's tactics, a new manager's style, with, and Rangers will only have a better chance. You know, for me, Brendan, obviously I've seen Brendan Rodgers the first time go to all the games, and he's only going to make this team better. He's going to make the players there better, and they're going to understand them, and then they're going to have Carter Vickers to come back, he's Hatate to come back, the new signing that he's made are still to come in. You know, everything's looking up for us. You know, I'm absolutely gutted that we're out the cup at the first time asking, you know, and I believe that if he lost the game yesterday, he would be under pressure. But
that's why it felt so good for Celtic yesterday, Hugh, because we said that it's all about your expectation, it's all about the context leading into it. The Celtic fans, many of them were fearing the worst when they saw the team, and it still didn't go away. And to come away with the win, never mind, because again, people would say, oh, you take a draw sort of thing. To come away with the win is a real shot in the arm, isn't it?
Yeah, massive moment for Brendan Rodgers. He was being flippant at the press conference after the game when he said that he'd been taken off death watch. But clearly, the anxiety being felt by the Celtic supporters had reached Brendan Rodgers. You don't need to read the papers every day or watch the television every day or listen to Super Scoreboard every day. Someone will always tell you, this is how the fans are feeling. So it was a tremendous result for Brendan Rodgers yesterday. But I think the dangerous thing for John Paul and any other Celtic supporter would be to assume that that's everything fine now. Celtic, like Rangers, have to go on. They have to keep on winning. They've got Dundee at home after the international break. They have to keep going. They've got a very, very tough Champions League group. How will that impact on their league performances? It's a terrific day, or it was a terrific day for the Celtic supporters, but they shouldn't jump to the conclusion that that makes everything okay for the remainder of the season.
Celtic better than you thought they would be yesterday, Andy, given all this stuff that was being said before the game?
No, not necessarily, because listen, I don't think Celtic were great either. I just thought within the game they showed more quality in the right areas than Rangers did. And John Paul, you know, says that Rangers missed their best chance to beat Celtic. I think they missed their chance to beat Celtic after the way the first 10 minutes went, like I said earlier on the show, because, you know, like he says, you know, Liam Scales' first Old Firm game, Lagerbielka's first Old Firm game, for me, they had a really nervous start in the first 10 minutes. Then you have to try and capitalise that. You have to keep the pressure up. You have to get pressure on them and pressure on the midfield and don't let them settle in the game. Then I think Celtic settled in the game. What then transpires is, you know, the nerves drop, they play themselves into the game, they gain confidence, and after that, I thought they defended really well and obviously managed to get the result in the end. So I agree also that although I don't think Celtic were great, and I touched on it at the start of the show, that my opinion's not really changed for before the game to after the game, that both teams have got a few gears to go, but it almost feels like a guarantee that Celtic are going to be better just by the names of the players that they've got to come back. Carter Vickers, to me, when he comes into the team, automatically makes them better. Rio Hatate automatically makes them better. Whereas Rangers' team at the weekend is what they've got, so it's more improving over time.
Thanks, John Paul. That leads us into this nicely. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Always time for a minute or two of light comic relief before we get back to the serious stuff. So if you want to play Beat the Pundit, call before 7 o'clock on 01419511025. Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hugh Evans and Andy Halliday are here. It's 01419511025, or it's Twitter at Clyde SSB. So please do get in touch. No surprises for guessing what is on top of the agenda so far. It's been the game at Ibrox yesterday. Lots been said. So if you want to agree or disagree with what you're hearing, this is the place to do it. 01419511025. And we'll play this first. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Right, it is Beat the Pundit time. And I'll tell you, seeing this new era of live streaming the show, got to be careful. Old habits that I would never even consider. Someone tweeted me, because I must have been messing around with my paper earlier, and someone has paused it right at that moment, zoomed in, taken a screenshot, and has exposed what the tiebreaker question is.
Oh, you're joking.
Incredible, but luckily you two don't know. That's the important thing.
Let's hope it doesn't go to a tiebreaker, so then.
Yeah, let's hope indeed. Right, let's see who's on tonight. Thomas is on the line. How's it going, Thomas?
I'm well, guys. How are you?
Not too bad. You're a Morton fan, Thomas. Talk to me about that at the moment.
Tough at the moment. But we'll see what happens. Squad's a bit thin, but we'll see what it goes.
Very much so. George Bowie's always whinging about it. So there was a bit of... We always say, Hughie, this is when he starts having to dial down the boom-boom music, as you call it. When Morton aren't going well, he just plays all the slow stuff.
Well, he's been gigging in Ibiza all weekend, as he told his listeners today. So
that would make up for a Morton defeat, wouldn't it?
Well, if you heard that Patrick Thistle just turned over your team 4-1, you'd just turn up the boom-boom.
Heads, it is Hugh. Tails, it's Andy. And it is... heads. It's Hugh Evans against Thomas from Greenock. So what we'll do is give Hugh some greatest hits radio to listen to, nice and loud, so that he can't hear us. Thomas, you've got 30 seconds. Answer as many questions as you can, and pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Sounds good.
It does indeed. Your time starts now. Glenn Kamara joined Rangers from which other Scottish team?
Dundee.
Who became the first player to be sent off in the Scottish Premiership at the weekend?
Pass.
Scotland play at the AEK Arena on Friday, but in which Cypriot city is it?
Nicosia.
True or false, there were no home wins in the Scottish Premiership at the weekend?
True.
Which team is currently third in the Scottish Premiership?
Motherwell.
Who was the last Scottish player to play in a Champions League final?
Billy Gilmore.
Okay, Hugh Evans, let's bring you back. Can you hear us, Hugh?
I can.
Good, same set of questions. Are you ready?
Okay,
let's go. Glenn Kamara joined Rangers from which other Scottish team?
Dundee.
Who became the first player to be sent off in the Scottish Premiership at the weekend?
Paul McGinn.
Scotland play at the AEK Arena on Friday, but in which Cypriot city?
Limassol.
True or false, there were no home wins in the Scottish Premiership at the weekend?
False.
Which team is currently third in the Scottish Premiership?
Rangers.
Who was the last Scottish player to play in a Champions League final?
Andy Robertson.
Okay, okay. What do you think, Thomas?
I think he's just got me.
Oh, that's never good. That's never a good position to be in. Glenn Kamara joined from Dundee. You both got it. I bet you got all of these. Anorak in the corner.
I think so.
No, the Cypriot one might have done you.
Yeah, I how's think that'll
knowledge,
be wrong.
How's your knowledge of Cypriot cities? Paul McGinn was sent off, I'm afraid, for you, Thomas. So Hugo's 2-1 in front. It is Larnaca.
Ah.
Uh-huh. Well, no. I was wrong.
Right, what'd you go for?
Pathos, is that even Cyprus?
True no. or false, there were no home wins in the Premiership at the weekend. It is true. So Thomas equalises 2-2. Which team is currently third in the Premiership? I'll have you know, Motherwell are higher than that, Thomas. And it's maybe you were just trying to avoid this answer. It's St Mirren. So it's 2-2 at the moment. Who is the last Scottish player to play in a Champions League final? Hugh went Andy Robertson. Thomas went Billy Gilmore. It is Andy Robertson. He has indeed pipped you, Thomas. And you knew it. 3-2 hard lines.
Oh, yeah.
Good Thomas. Man, Thomas. Thanks for taking part.
Marco yeah, Thomas.
Guys, thanks for having me.
Thanks, Thomas.
Both in good form, though, going into international. How good was Billy Gilmore at the weekend? Oh, and for your Seagulls as well.
I know, yeah. My grandson is getting excited because the European draw has been made, and there's a talk of taking his old granddad
to one of the games?
Abroad. Not the.
Imagine.
Yeah.
Can you send a GoPro with you? I want to see footage of this. Where are they going? Never mind. Where are they going again?
I think they'll get. Our Greek trip in there.
Yeah, I think you and Greece would go well.
And the one to Holland.
Right. Amsterdam, no.
I'd like
to see you let loose there.
Well, I don't know if Mrs. Keepins would allow that.
Imagine him.
Oh, I'd love to see that. A couple of shows you'd love.
Yeah, exactly.
Some classic theatre there.
A Specky Tube Abroad, I think, would be the name of the documentary that we would commission. But there we are, 01419511025. Jamie is in Greenock. Jamie, how do you feel about yesterday?
Well, I won't say I'm disappointed because I'm just used to it now.
Well, that's even worse though, isn't it?
I just think it's the same old players letting us down. Barisic, Jack, Lundstrom, Tav.
Hold on a minute. The first three didn't play. Oh, Jack did.
I just mean in general. Like, we're still relying on Barisic. We've got no width. We're still relying on him getting up and down the left. Certain games he puts in a great cross, something that's on the money a lot of times. I know he never played yesterday and I'm glad he never played.
It does seem a bit harsh to focus too much on, but poor Borna will be turning on his radio, go, it's not my fault.
But hold on,
I do get Jamie is, to be fair, sometimes I get where Jamie's going, just a sort of bigger picture. He doesn't think the squad's strong enough. I guess
this is a recurring theme. Back to recruitment. People are looking at those who have gone, Morelos, Kent, Sakala, and saying, have better players been brought in? And they're arriving at the conclusion, temporarily or otherwise, that no, they haven't. But also, those who were there last season and are making, when they play, the same mistakes that they made last season. Right now, it's a downer for Jamie and all the Rangers supporters. There's only one thing that can happen. Michael Beale has got to make these guys better and quickly, or Michael Beale will pay for that.
You still getting behind the manager, Jamie?
Nah, I think he's out of his depth. I just the way he sets it up. It's just we've got zero pace. He's got roof wide right. Dessers far too slow. I just don't have any words for him. I just think it's the same old story. Tav, I won't single Tav out. The goals he brings, fantastic. I just don't see any leadership. I don't see grabbing people, do you know what I mean? Grabbing the game by scuffy neck, do you know what I mean? And I just don't see it. It's just It's the same old stuff.
When did you reach the conclusion that the manager for you is out his depth? Was that before yesterday, or was that what tipped you over the edge?
Yesterday tipped me over the edge, aye.
It felt like a big moment for Michael Beale here, the reaction after the game.
Yeah, there's no getting away from the fact that Celtic were there for the taking. Every Celtic supporter would agree that was the case. They had so many players out. There was a crisis of confidence created on the back of losing to Kilmarnock and then that awful performance against St Johnstone, goalless draw. Celtic were absolutely there.
Was that
there.
Home advantage? Because as we've said, this whole debate about allocation, which we'll do for another day, yesterday was the first one that actually the away team has come out on top.
And for it to happen when Brendan Rodgers had lost half a team, that's what's frustrating, Jamie. Frustration might even be too soft a word. Celtic were there for the taking. There is no question about it. And that's why it's a watershed moment for Brendan Rodgers, because he went in there and he praised his players for reacting like men to the situation. He kept repeating that phrase. And he was entitled to make that statement. And Rangers fans like Jamie are entitled to say 15 outfield players could not make a dent on that team.
Is there a case to say, Andy, though, that on a day like yesterday, the focus is going on the new players, but is it a bad combination when it's not like, you know, Goldson was brilliant and Tavernier was brilliant and Jack and Raskin and Cantwell were brilliant, and then you say, well, it's clearly, you know, it's clearly the new players are not up to it yet and that'll come. Are fans seeing enough from the old favourites?
Potentially not. But I do think if Michael Beale was big on, obviously they were going to make a significant rebuild, there's going to be a lot of players, but he said on a couple of occasions that he's bringing in quality, he's bringing in players to strengthen the starting 11. And like I touched on earlier on the show, it was only three new signings that actually made the starting 11. So there was a lot of frustrations, and quite rightly so. I think you could see even the reaction to a couple of substitutions within the game and the reactions to the aftermath of the game that there was a lot of frustration brewing within the stadium. A lot of it is justified. Just for me, I do think it's premature to be calling for the manager's head, but I don't think there's any doubt that collectively and individually they need to do more.
What do you think, Alan and Coatbridge?
Hi there, reason panel. It's just the main thing about what I'm thinking, it's the signing. Obviously Michael Beale's come on and said, sorry, I was just running up the stairs there. Get away.
I thought you were still just really angry about yesterday, Alan.
No, I've been angry at that. No, I was just making a dinner and stuff like that, so to run up the stairs to get away from him, I'll never bloody give me peace. Anyway, it's just the amount of money we're spending. I know Michael Beale's on. He seemed quite angry when he's like, oh, I don't believe it, that's a load of crap. Don't listen to that amount of money we've said, but... I've looked at the prices and that thing, things as well. See, Fuentes was over 1 million, Dessers was 4.5 million, Lammers 3 and 3.5 million, Danilo 6 million. I don't know where these people are plucking out these figures, but I mean, that's nearly £15 million spent. Giovanni Van Bronckhorst never got that amount of money. Steven Gerrard never got that amount of money. But for some reason Beale's getting back to the hilt, and it's like he's an inexperienced manager. What I think is, we really need to go back to getting a manager who's experienced. Steven Gerrard didn't have experience. Giovanni Van Bronckhorst wasn't really that much of an experienced manager, and neither's Beale. And look what's happened. It's like I think we really need an old head in charge, and we need a better scouting system, because the players we're signing is rather hopeless. Obviously, Andy won't like this one either, but I have got no idea why we haven't tried to sign Lauren Shanklin for Hearts. Sorry, Andy, but... I don't know why. He's the best striker in Scotland, and we're shelling out 6 million in Danilo, who's missing a set-off for 1 yard in Europe. Dessers couldn't hit a barn door. And I think Lammers, I think there is a player in there, but he's not an actual out-and-out striker. So I'd maybe give him a wee bit of time. But...
Was Lammers one? Is that a sitter, Andy, or do you understand that when he tries to go around Joe Hart? How bad a miss is that?
Nah, he should still score. Yeah. I don't think there's any doubt. I think his decision-making within it, I think you just open your body up and you try and pass it in the corner. Is there an argument you can actually cut it back to Dessers early, who's then got a tap in? And then, of course, when he takes it round Joe Hart, I think it's just that sort of split second bit of composure to then pass it into empty net, but it doesn't get his feet set right and ends up putting it into the side netting. But
Hugh, let's I want to play that clip that Alan alludes to there, just in case people haven't heard it. So Michael Beale did defend the summer recruitment after some criticism, and he thinks some of the fees have been exaggerated.
When you lose six players that play in the front positions, you have to sign some. They can't all play at the same time. That's fair. You know, the players can't all play if they play in the same position. That's obvious. And we had to sign these players. There's been a lot said about the fees. I tell you, you're miles out. And where, who costs what and who costs this, you're miles out. We had to replace the players that went out. They've all contributed so far. They could all show a little bit more. But I don't think that it's a slight on anybody that we picked Kamar Roof today or the form that Rabbi Matondo's been in. And I don't think it'd be a slight on anyone if Tom Lawrence plays over a new signing. They're part of our squad. We invested probably about 30 million in nine players. It's not like we spent millions on one or two. We spent 30 million on nine players. At times, the right balance has got to be sought out, and that's probably where the team needs to come together. But it's after a defeat, all those questions are going to come forward. Today's game was in our hands, and we let it slip through our own faults.
When your back's to the wall and Michael Beale's back is to the wall after yesterday, then you will defend yourself in every way you can. And he's saying to the supporters via the media, look, don't think that an awful lot of money's been spent on these guys. You know, it's not as much as the media are trying to tell you. So that's his line of defence, because Michael Beale is no longer the manager. He is the accused. And he has been accused of spending Rangers' money, however many millions he spent, unwisely. And he's trying to defend himself by saying it's not that amount of money. But he's now a man with his back to the wall, and only football matches and wins will make this situation less aggressive and accusatory as it has become.
And you said earlier, you think it's far too early to be talking about the manager's position. And even if it was, I think, you know, current players and whatever, you're not going to sit here at any stage and say sack Michael Beale. So, but I wonder the sort of reaction. Do you feel like he's up against it in the eyes of the Rangers fans?
Yeah, but I think that's only natural. I think, obviously, off the basis of last year, in terms of the league position, I don't think there was too much expected of him, but he was still in the cup competitions to go and try and win. Didn't manage to do so. And then I think with the way that the club have backed him over the summer and brought in nine players, I think a good start to the season was paramount. Obviously, getting into the Champions League was of importance as well. I know you're four games into the domestic season, you're already 4 points behind Celtic. And I think I said it in the first show of the season that I was on, that I always felt it was important that when the first round of fixtures were done, that Rangers were top of the table, purely because the first Old Firm game was at Ibrox. I don't want to disrespect other teams, but I think naturally you see your toughest away fixtures as your Easter Roads, Pittodrie's, Tynecastle, and Celtic had all of them away, Rangers had all of them at home. So I just felt that the first round of fixtures was important, and already after four games, you're 4 points behind. So naturally there's going to be pressure.
Good time to call 01419511025. We'll try and get you on next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it, watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Right, Andy Halliday and Hugh Keevans are here. So many calls. Honestly, this stuff's never taken for granted. How many of you listen and get in touch with this show? It is, I mean, what have we been on? An hour and 25 minutes. It is still a full switchboard, phones ringing off the hook. So apologies if it's taken a while to get through, but thanks to everyone for staying in touch. Quickly, I'll give you a full-time teaser. Won't spend long on this tonight because we are busy. Michael Donati, thank you for sending this in. Can you, in fact, let's set up the question first.
The full-time teaser with Sliding Wardrobe Solutions East Kilbride, teaming up with you for fast turnarounds and competitive prices.
Andy's considerably better than Hugh at these, so let's see how they team up. Nine players who've played in Scotland's top flight since 1990. They've also played in the English FA Cup final, League Cup final, and a European final in their career.
Since 1990.
Wow.
So they've played in the Scottish top flight, and then they've also played in the English FA Cup final, League Cup final, and a European final. So that could be like Champions League, Europa League, UEFA Cup, that sort of thing.
Brian McClure.
Hey, how good is that? He's done it straight away. Wonderful, Hugh Keevans.
Andy Robertson.
Yep.
It's the obvious one, isn't it? Aaron Ramsey.
Yep, good start. Okay, 3 down, 6 to get. We'll get them before the end of the show, I hope. And it's fulltime at Clyde1.com if you want to hear your question used. Right, let's. It's also on the screen, by the way, if you're watching the live stream. There you are, I can actually see it. That's nice. You can take a look at the question over there as well. Right, thank you for all the calls. We're going to bring in Jim, who's an unhappy Rangers fan, in a minute. But what about David, who's a Celtic fan first? Did you fear the worst before the game, David?
First of all, guys, thanks for taking my call. To be honest, that's really my first point I wanted to make. I've been hearing a lot of talk the past week before the game about the bad form Celtic were in, the injury crisis Celtic had. I have to point out, before Celtic went into this game, guys, we're still top of the league. It wasn't the old doom and gloom, it wasn't that bad, to be honest. We're still top of the league. But what I'd like to say is, yeah, when I saw that team yesterday, wow, my genuine thoughts were, the two centre-backs will never play again together for Celtic. Where have they been fit? They won't play again together. So that's one point. It was a Celtic reserve side. But my point, here's a point to make. I mean, are these getting stuck into Michael Beale here? I'm a Celtic fan here, but what I'd like to say is, Michael Beale has come into Rangers as a very, very inexperienced manager. It's almost like Celtic appointing Scott Brown as the manager. That's laughable. Because if you look at it, Scott Brown's got more experience as a manager than Michael Beale has. So maybe the point here is not Michael Beale's fault. This is maybe a Rangers club fault for appointing a manager with almost, 3 months' managerial experience before they get the job.
Well, he had QPR. Then he was offered the Wolves job and decided to turn it down because he wanted to go to Rangers. And they had 23 games as manager last season and he's into it this season, league and Europe. That you're correct to say that that's a club decision. They have gone for Michael Beale and taken a risk because there is an element of risk because of how little time he had spent as a manager prior to that. However, this applies to anyone who comes to manage Celtic or Rangers. Once you're in, you're stuck with it. You have the responsibility for everyone's happiness. If you let the fans down, you get it in the neck. So that's the problem that Michael Beale has now. Yes, he's inexperienced. Certainly, when you contrast him with Brendan Rodgers and all the places he's been, but that will not be in Michael Beale's favour. That will not buy him time. It's just the law of the jungle. Rangers appointed him. You therefore, after that, sink or swim.
What pleased you most about Celtic's performance, David?
Not much. I'll be honest, I thought Callum McGregor got an awful lot of space in the middle of the park yesterday. I think Callum McGregor, if you're a manager, an opposition manager, one player that you want to stop at Celtic is Callum McGregor. If you let him control a game, dictate play, then he's going to do it. And I thought at the points of the game I was watching yesterday, and he had so much space, it was absolutely unbelievable. But I mean, I don't think Celtic were good yesterday. I would probably give Celtic a 5 out of 10. I think the fact that their defence was very, very poor yesterday and they never conceded a goal, I don't even think up front Celtic were great. Yes, Kyogo scored an absolute world-class strike, but I don't genuinely think Celtic were really good up front either.
I think it was a victory for mentality over maturity. You're right in what you say, that the pairing of Scales and Lagabielka will probably never be seen again. But there was a strong mentality about Celtic to get through the day. And that was greater than the maturity that was contained within the team. And in the passing, I would also give an honourable mention to Matt O'Reilly. I thought O'Reilly had a very, very good game. As good a game without scoring a goal as I've seen him have for Celtic.
Andy, that may all still be true, but I do wonder about having someone like Kyogo to make a difference. Was it not? Is it six goals in these derbies? I think, you know, he scores them at Celtic Park, he scores them at Ibrox, he scores them at Hampden. Is it that difference at the sharp end of the pitch? How key is that?
Yeah, potentially. I think in both boxes, I think it's obviously extremely important, especially in a game like this. And to be honest, I don't think that's been a lot different to some of the Kyogo we have seen in Old Firm games. Listen, some games he's been brilliant, but I think there has been two or three games where he's maybe not been as, mm-hmm. as much involved as he'd have liked, and still pops up in the key moments in the game. And you know, I look at the weekend, I think from the start of the season we've almost seen Kyogo used in a different role in terms of, since Rodgers came in, he's been a lot more involved in the build up. He's dropping deeper. David Turnbull, whoever's playing next to him, sort of been the focal point in terms of running in behind and creating the space. But I thought at the weekend there, he did play a lot more on the last line of the defence. The goal he scores, I actually think, is a typical Kyogo goal where he is alert to the danger. Matt O'Reilly gets his head on a sort of nothing clearance, and next thing you know, he's through on goal. And like I said, he got my goal of the weekend because of how early he takes a goal, and it's a fantastic finish. So I think regardless of how he's playing in a game, you always feel as if he's got a moment in him, and he comes up with a big moment on Sunday.
Does that encourage you then, David, that Celtic weren't at their best, in your words, and had the players missing, but still going to this international break with that cushion over Rangers at the top?
Oh yeah, I mean, I look at it and think, I mean, I think Celtic's back four, when we come back for the break, where have they been fit? I think you're going to see Cameron Carter-Vickers come back in there, who's arguably the best defender in Scotland for the past couple of seasons. You're probably going to see Nat Phillips, who's, I know a lot of people are talking about him not getting in the Liverpool team, but bear in mind, it's been very difficult to knock Virgil van Dijk off his position, so I think Nat Phillips is probably going to play. And one player we're all forgetting here, last year, probably the best player at Celtic last season by a mile, was Rio Hatate. So you bring him into the equation, I think things are looking very, very positive for Celtic, and I do think Rangers blew their chance yesterday.
The other encouragement for Brendan Rodgers, the likes of Paulo Bernardo, Louis Palma, they've got a fortnight to get used to the whole environment, and home game against Dundee. So with the return of Hatate, who is supposed to be fully fit after the international break, Cameron Carter-Vickers, and Nat Phillips, you would assume, would come into contention. So Rangers had a chance yesterday against a Celtic side weakened to the point where you had to think that Rangers might win comfortably.
Let's hear from Brendan Rodgers on that logic. He was pleased with the way the players stepped up to the plate, and he says having players out injured made it even sweeter.
Fantastic result for us. You look at the squad of players we have here, and we get half our team missing, I think. We needed the players to come here and play like men, and they did that. So first half, we were very good on the ball, just getting through the pitch really well, and we get the goal I think we deserve in the first half. And it's a goal that I've said to the players about doing the dirty bit as well. We score a goal similar at Ross County, where even though it's a really technical group of players, you have to be able to compete and win the ball. And Matt O'Reilly makes a great header, and all of a sudden we're in on goal, and it's a brilliant finish. It's against a really good keeper in Jack Butland. So I felt we deserved that in the first half. Second half, like I said, you expect pressure when you come to Ibrox. I've never been here and never had pressure in the game, but then it's all about standing up to that. And the players were absolutely magnificent. We had a few moments where we could have killed the game off, you know, with three breakaways that really we finish or should finish, and Jack Butland makes a great save off of Barras. So it could have been more convincing for us, but a brilliant win, and it's exactly what the group needed.
Thank you, David. In Bells Hill, 01419511025. Jim is a Rangers fan in Kilmarnock. How are you feeling about things now, Jim?
I phoned in three or four times. I think I phoned in when Michael Beale got the job. I didn't want him to. He's inexperienced as a manager, and it wasn't what we needed. He done nothing between then and the end of the season to change my mind, and then just this has been a disaster. It's like, I know, listen, I've heard you, this kind of threw my point, I want to actually try and cover something with you here, and the previous caller, David. See that thing about Celtic having half a team out? See, the only person that I would say that wasn't playing for Celtic that would be starting on Saturday, and Sunday, sorry, would have been Carter-Vickers. See the £3 million Lagerbeekel? Celtic paid £3 million for this guy. He's not a guy that they've signed off Sunday like Raith Rovers. So I don't get where these are all shouting this, Celtic's got half a team out. The only person that probably would have missed that game is who would have been a starter would have been Carter-Vickers. Hatate's not been getting in the team because Rodgers hasn't been playing him.
Hatate would have started though. I take your point, right, about the first week of the season. You're right, and it was a big talking point. But Hatate would have started the game as well, wouldn't he, Jim?
Well, he's not been starting the games.
Well, he got injured in the second game of the season, so it's been sort of tough to tell, hasn't it? He got injured in the second game.
Well, I'll give you that's
Anyway, Jim's line's a bit dodgy. Let's see if we can get that cleared up, Hugh.
Well, Navrotsky would have played, obviously. I agree with you. Hatate would have played. Carter Vickers would have played. There is no getting away from the fact that Rangers' optimism going into the game was based on the team that Celtic would be forced to field. And that heightens the frustration for the Rangers supporters that they had, if you like, Celtic there on a plate. And it was Celtic who wiped the plate clean, not Rangers.
Yeah, Andy, I don't know what we gained much from arguing how many was missing. I suppose it was maybe the supporting cast as well, because Hughes, you know, maybe, yes, Lagerbielke was signed, but maybe at this point in time he was meant to be backup to Navrotsky, and then Stephen Welsh, and he's injured as well, and it, you know, it kind of trickled down. Yeah. And Nat Phillips was signed, and everyone thought he was going to play, and then he didn't. I think that's maybe more where it comes from. And then, as Hugh says, you look at the maybe there is still a depth issue there in some areas, because it's the back four Celtic finished the game with was quite striking.
Yeah, and I think right now, I think the majority of people will say if Celtic are fielding their best 11, that Cameron Carter, Vickers, and Rio Hatate are involved. And I think not only that, there's nothing to say that in 2 months' time that Lewis Palma and Paolo Bernardo aren't part of that best 11. And these are two players that have just came in the door, weren't readily available. Obviously, Nat Phillips been another one. So they certainly had players unavailable. But like I said, I've said it all show, and I'll reiterate it. I still think there's more to come for both teams, and I don't think Celtic are any different. Mm.
Sorry, Jim, I think we've got you back. How are you feeling then about things?
Andy, I don't know how you can say there's more to come for Rangers. The manager's not just in the door. This was my point last time I called. That's correct, because the manager isn't just here. The manager's been in here for 10 months and he's absolutely abysmal. Yesterday, it's not just the results, the tactics, the formations, the signings, even his substitutions are baffling as well now. It's just getting bad at I don't know where we go for here. If you'd never have been given the job, he's far too inexperienced. And listen, it's not nice to see anybody lose a job, no matter what walk of life you're in. But football is a results-driven business. And like, I was just checking there, guys, when I was on hold. I seen somebody posting it the day, and I was just kind of trying to confirm it before I come on there. Sam Lammers has had 8 clubs in 8 years. See if somebody sent me a CV applying for a job, and they had 8 jobs in 8 years, it would be straight in the bin. So a guy that's been at 8 clubs in 8 years, and we pay £3.5 million for him. He scored 4 goals in 36 games. Who in their right mind would have thought that guy is bringing him in as a number 10 when our best players were number 10 in Cantwell to bring a guy like that in? Dessers, I don't think his record's much better, to be honest. But he's gone to a manager who'll live and die by signings, and his signings are horrific. We get rid of Cholak for £2 million and brought Dessers in for £4.5 million. We get rid of other players, and it's came up, I don't know, Michael Beale saying the figures are wrong, but what you're seeing on, like, for guys like yourselves or in newspapers or social media or whatever it is, the signs have been bad. And this thing about what net spend, see if you're going to spend £13 million replacing the guys that's went out for £13 million, you need to bring better players in. You can't bring players in, it's worse. They need to progress, you know what I mean? And he's just, I feel as if he's even taking players like Raskin and Cantwell, they're regressing as well. But things need to change, and I think the board need to act very, very quickly and get somebody that's experienced. Well, the last few managers have been very, very, very inexperienced, and I think we need to get somebody that's got a bit of experience and maybe 10, 15 years of experience management. Somebody that's managed QPR for 21 games.
What you're saying, though, is that you believe the season's a write-off unless Rangers make a change.
Yes, 100%. I can't see anything changing. Michael Beale isn't great as a Rangers manager. I think he's out of 36 games. He's won 25, drew 5, and I think he's lost 6. Not really great stats for a Rangers manager. But again, I don't know why we went for him in the first place. If Michael Beale was never he was a third team coach. If Michael Beale was never a third team coach at Rangers, he would never have been considered for the Rangers manager's job. And I think we need to put this thing to bed. I don't know, Andy, if you can confirm this. He was the brains and the tactician behind Gerrard. That needs to get put to bed now, because we can see with his tactics and the stuff that he's doing now, that can't have been true.
Well, I don't think that statement's ever been true or fair, because if you're a first-team coach or a manager or a goalkeeper, no matter what it is, it's always been about the staff as a collective. And yeah, Michael Beale took a lot in terms of the sort of on-field coaching because he had a lot more experience than Steven Gerrard. But Steven Gerrard obviously played a really crucial and important role at that time in terms of demanding standards every day, holding people accountable. So I think it was a group collective. I think you're right in terms of a big part of Michael Beale being appointed as Rangers manager is down to what Rangers board and people around the club seen him as day-to-day when he was part of that backroom staff. But there was never a case where Michael Beale was in charge of everything when Steven Gerrard was a manager. I don't think that's ever been true.
Thank you very much to Jim. How are you two doing in this teaser? Just very quickly, because we've got so much more to get around. We're looking for 9 players who've played in the Scottish top flight since 1990, and they've also played in the English FA Cup final, League Cup final, and the European final. Guys like Brian McClair, Aaron Ramsey, and Andy Robertson.
Henrik Larsson, was he at Manu long
enough? No.
Charlie Adam?
Nope.
Chris Sutton?
No, he started so well.
Mm-hmm.
There's a kind of obvious one there, and along the sort of Andy Robertson theme, maybe a teammate of his currently.
Van Dijk.
Virgil Van Dijk. Okay. Any more that spring to mind? We'll move on.
Move on.
Good, I'll give you some thinking time. We'll speak to Mike in Edinburgh, who's coming up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Andy Halliday are here. We're into the home straight then on the show. Give me your teaser answers quickly. 9 players have played in the Scottish Cup. Scottish top flight since 1990. They've also played in an English FA Cup final, League Cup final, and a European final. Van Dijk, Brian McClair, Aaron Ramsey, Andy Robertson.
Martin Hayes.
No.
Tori Andre Flo.
Yes, Tori Andre Flo. Okay.
Van Bronckhorst.
Nope. Four to get. Interesting you say that. What do you think? I thought Van Bronckhorst would have been one, to be fair. Don't know why he's not. Maybe a steward's inquiry. Any more at the moment? No. We move on.
No.
Good.
Yep.
Let's do it. Mike is in Edinburgh. Mike, the previous Rangers fan, was giving Michael Beale a bit of a hard time. Are you on to defend the manager?
No. I was on last year, Gordon. I don't know if you remember. A towel panel. I'm incandescent, Gordon. I've actually needed a day just to calm down because of the results. Seems on the big occasion we always choke. I mean, the excuses. It wasn't a goal yesterday. First one, offside. Second one, that was an infringement. Not a clear shot on goal. It was scrappy. Michael Beale just doesn't have a clue tactically. There's no identity. There's no width to the team at all. Everything all goes narrow. Celtic just bomb us on the counter-attack. I mean, all Kyogo needs is just one finish. I mean, they ripped us open from start to finish. I think we maybe had about 10 minutes of good play yesterday. Cyril Dessers, he doesn't know the offside rule. He's always fouling. He's conceded penalties against Servette. He's always caught offside. I mean, I've got many other points to make as well. We've spent £4.5 million on him. Michael Beale seems to think he's the bee's knees. I mean, we've got there's a Scotland international sitting in Edinburgh. Warren Shankly could have spent £3 million on him, but no, he goes waste money on Cyril Dessers. I mean, he's had about 6-8 clubs. Scored for Cremonese last season, but he just doesn't looks off the boil. And Danilo, he obviously played the fire in it last season. Record signing, sitting on the bench. I mean, what's going on? I mean, your record signing shouldn't be sitting on the bench at all. I understand some people out to defend Bill. I was one of his biggest fans when he first came in. I mean, we spent £1.5 million on him, Gordon, and spent £3.5 million getting rid of Gio. That's £5 million on a turnaround on managers.
This is a lot, Mike. This is a lot. Are you another one then? If you, I mean, what are we? 4th of September. You got no faith this turns round from here?
2 defeats and 4, Gordon, in the league. What do you think? And choking in Europe as well. I mean, the Champions League. I mean, Chris Boyd said it eloquently on Sky Sports. You know, you need to aspire to get to the top, and he's choked on the big occasion again. And it's
Mike has the word of the night so far. Incandescent. You know, he's incandescent with rage. And I am slightly surprised that with a lot of calls tonight, an awful lot of calls, there is no support for Michael Beale.
No, I think there's been some. There's been some, but you're right.
It's vastly outnumbered by those who, like Mike, have already seen enough. Now, by my reckoning, you know, if you take in European matches, everything, domestic cups, everything, he's had round about 50 matches as a Rangers manager. And, you know, people have abandoned him. For the most part, people have abandoned him.
Andy, let me ask you before we round off this chat. I mean, it's going to go on a week probably, but moving forward, is this the worst time to have a day like yesterday because you just left to stew over the break? Or does it give you time to regroup?
No, no, for sure. For me, it's the worst. I think you always, as a group of players and a group of staff, you want to try and put it right as quickly as possible, when, especially in an Old Firm, because I don't think going and beating St Johnstone makes amends for losing an Old Firm game. And that being said, I feel as if it almost needs, not only do they need results clearly, they need performances. I think that's what comes next as well. Not only do they need to go and run a 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 consecutive victories to try and close the gap and hope Celtic slip up, but they also need performances with it to then fans sort of getting behind them again, and, you know, seeing players, especially the new signings, come, start to grow into the jersey, show that they've got a bright future towards the season for Rangers. And, you know, to touch on when Mike spoke about Danilo being on the bench, he's one for me that's been a bit strange, because from what I've seen so far, I certainly see a player in there. I think even when he came on in the game against Celtic, I don't think he set the world alight, but I think you can just see with his movement alone in the box, his composure in the box, I think he brings something different. So I think he's one that I still see a lot of belief in growing in the jersey and showing that he's a good sign.
Beating St Johnstone doesn't compensate for losing to Celtic, but it compounds the felony if you lose to St Johnstone and the manager, who is the accused, is right in the dock.
Thank you, Mike. Let's bring in one more and speak to Hugh, who's in Lanark, who's a Motherwell fan. Take it away, Hugh.
Hey, I'm glad I could get on. I thought I was listening to Celtic Rangers for the full time. Anyway, Stuart Kettlewell, Motherwell, and especially Lennon Miller. Andy Halliday, just a quick question. Thanks for obviously saying Lennon Miller had the best performance of the weekend.
I thought you said it was all about Celtic and Rangers, Hugh. You managed to hear Lennon Miller shout out at the start.
Well, because I was watching it for the start, I couldn't believe he's only spoken about one game for the full hour and 50 minutes of this. But anyway, I'll go on with a point.
Yeah,
but
good idea.
Lennon Miller is the best prospect in Scotland, and you can get rid of him for Celtic and Rangers and Aberdeen and all that. He's the best prospect. He's only just turned 17, and he's dominating Hearts. He's dominated other games throughout. He does his business, and he does his business quietly. And I think he's got to be recognised. Now, Stuart Kettlewell, he's all going on about Beale and this and that, and Brendan Rodgers coming back, and they're the best manager out there.
Hugh, you're in danger of talking about Celtic Rangers more than anybody else. Come on.
This is to actually make my point. Stuart Kettlewell, since he's come in, near enough 70% win rate as a Millwall manager. 40 points against Celtic's 42 points since he came in. So he's 2 points behind Celtic since he came in. Unbeaten in league away, and that's with 3 strikers out. And all these other teams are moaning, oh, we're top strikers out. We've got 3 out. So you've got to appreciate what a job this guy's doing with little or no budget.
Yeah, I mean, Andy, you're right. You did give Lennon Miller performance of the weekend. You got to see him up close.
And I gave Callum Slattery goal of the weekend.
Starting his driving lessons last week, you said. And so you were impressed to see up close, because you'll have heard, I'm sure, early season reviews.
Yeah, well, first and foremost, I gave him performance of the weekend through gritted teeth, believe me, because I didn't want to see him play as well as he did. But yeah, I drive on and on about how I love to see young Scottish prospects getting opportunities. So even though it was against my team and obviously disappointed to lose the game at the weekend, I still think you have to take a bit of a pride in seeing young Scottish talent obviously getting opportunities and doing well. And
what was it that impressed you specifically?
I always think when it comes to younger players and they get put into first team environments and obviously playing in these games, first and foremost, I think don't look at a place, because if you don't look at a place, for me, you belong at the level and you'll grow into your role with more opportunities. But I think the thing that impressed me the most was he looked like a man playing. He didn't look 17. I mean, if I never heard of Lennon Miller before and I was watching the game and somebody said to me after 30, 45 minutes, whatever it may be, this kid's 17, I'd think no chance. Not just the way he plays the game. I think he's very intelligent. I think he played with a lot of composure. And I think in the game as well, obviously I'm extremely disappointed with the result for us, but even in the second half when we gather a lot more momentum and we're penning Motherwell in, and know, a lot of the times he's sort of feeding off scraps. Still then, you know, he still finds that composure to take a touch, play the right pass, allow the team to go up the pitch and counter attack. So I think the big job that you've got in your hands, Hugh, is keeping a hold of him, to be honest, because I'm sorry to say it, quite often at the time when kids like this are doing so well, that, you know, the big boys down in England, and whether it be Rangers and Celtic, start sniffing. And in terms of Stuart Kettlewell, yeah, I don't think there's any doubt how well a job he's done. I think the most important thing and the most impressive thing to me is the home record, the away record, sorry, because any team outside the Old Firm to go unbeaten away for that period of time, I mean, it's testament to the job he's done.
Yeah, promoting from within can sometimes be problematic. It doesn't always work. And Motherwell got lucky with Stuart Kettlewell because, you know, they were at very low ebb when they decided to promote him to the managerial role. And it has, so far, Hugh, been a success.
And hopefully that continues. Thank you very much to Hugh. Right, quickly on this teaser anymore. I need four more names. Going to need to be quick.
The man with three names. Ian, right.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I think I'll just give you clues. A famous Jim Duffy, one that he talks about on this show.
Oh, Ravenelli?
Yep.
Ravenelli? Middlesbrough?
One of Brendan Rodgers' first signings.
Scott Sinclair?
No. Arsenal and Man City, famous brother, annoying football chant. And the last one you'll never get, Stefan Onksho. We'll leave it there. A couple of things to flag up to you.
No faith in us.
Big international break. And of course, we're back in Scotland all the way in the journey, hopefully, to the Euro. So thanks to Moira and Sweeney, we're going to follow the men's national team this campaign. Andrew McLean's in Cyprus for us this Friday, and we've got an extended show as well. Go to Clyde1.com just now for a chance to win a 70-inch 4K HD TV to watch all the action. So thanks again to Moira and Sweeney Litigation. Head over there, try and win the TV. Great way to watch Scotland hopefully qualify for the Euros. What a busy week this is as well, because me, Gordon Dale, Mark Wilson, abseiling down at Silverburn on Thursday as well. So if you want to sponsor us or join in, it's Clyde1.com/cash4kids. What a busy, busy show that was. Thank you so much for staying in touch. We're back at 6 o'clock tomorrow. Stay right there though.